AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York, where threats are escalating as a grand jury weighs former President Trump's alleged hush money payments. CBS's Jeff Begays has the latest.
Right now, intelligence sources tell CBS News that they are not seeing specific or credible threats, but they are seeing a significant increase in threats and violent rhetoric online.
And intelligence experts are worried this could spark another insurrection. In Georgia, Mr. Trump's lawyers are asking a state court to quash a special grand jury report on efforts to overturn the 2020 election. CBS's Graham Cates.
Citing statements by the grand jury's foreperson in media interviews, Trump's attorneys said the investigative process was confusing, flawed, and at times blatantly unconstitutional.
We've already seen parts of this report, including a unanimous conclusion that there was no evidence of widespread voter fraud. President Biden has issued the first veto of his presidency. He is blocking Republican-led efforts in Congress to overturn a Labor Department rule that allows retirement plans to consider climate change or social factors when making investment decisions. GOP lawmakers argue this woke policy will hurt retirees. Russia's president held a high-profile meeting today with China's leader. Here's CBS's Vicky Barker.
Vladimir Putin stepping forward to shake Xi Jinping's hand. Each called the other his dear friend. Xi expressing strong support for Putin's leadership. Putin saying he'll listen carefully to China's proposed peace plan for Ukraine. Western observers will be watching to see if that plan includes Chinese weapon sales to Moscow.
The French government has survived a no-confidence vote in parliament and is expected to survive a second one despite backlash over the president's plan to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64. Workers there have been protesting the move for weeks. Teachers in L.A. plan to hit the picket lines tomorrow.
Plans for a three-day strike are still on in the nation's second-largest school district. Custodial workers, bus drivers, food servers, and others accounting for around 30,000 say they will walk out tomorrow demanding higher wages. Teachers say they will honor the picket lines, which means schools will essentially be shut down, affecting more than a half million students.
That's CBS's Steve Futterman reporting. The cast of Ted Lasso met with President Biden today at the White House to talk about mental health. Star Jason Sudeikis says we should all be invested in well-being.
So please, you know, we encourage everyone, and this is a big theme of the show, is like to check in with your neighbor, your coworker, your friends, your family, and ask how they're doing. And listen.
Season 3 started streaming last week on Apple Plus. This is CBS News.
Staples stores are a new world of possible with innovative tools for small business and remote workers and learners. Explore more at your local Staples store or Staples Connect. The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Both candidates for Wisconsin Supreme Court are defending some past choices. Janet Protasiewicz is under fire for giving some light sentences as a Milwaukee County judge. Some of those defendants went on to commit more crimes.
You know, I'm not able to tell necessarily who's going to reoffend. Of course, looking back on it, I say, I wish I had known that you were going to reoffend, right? Of course I do.
Protasiewicz on Upfront Sunday. Dan Kelly advised Republicans on legal efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential race. Kelly and Protasiewicz will debate tomorrow. That debate will be broadcast on many Civic Media radio stations tomorrow night. In sports, the Wisconsin women's hockey team are the national champions. They beat Ohio State in yesterday's title game. The Badger men's basketball team plays on in the NIT. They're in Oregon for the quarterfinals tomorrow night. Marquette season is over. They lost yesterday to Michigan State. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
It's the only forum both Wisconsin Supreme Court candidates will take part in, and you can hear it Tuesday, March 21st at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station.
News director Terry Bell will anchor our special coverage as Janet Protasiewicz and Dan Kelly debate some of the biggest issues facing the court, from redistricting to abortion access.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court candidates debate Tuesday, March 21st, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Pat, I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUK Radio.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Go tell that. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right to the front lines of history in the making. I've said before, history is made every minute, every second, whether you're awake or not. It's being made this week. It's a lot of it's being made this week. Your grandchildren and great-grandchildren will be reading about it in the history books. We're going to start right off. It's looking very likely that Donald Trump will be indicted by a New York grand jury and will have to be, if he's not arrested, show up voluntarily and be processed. A lot of late-breaking developments on that, and I want to go through them. The crime that he is going to be indicted for is in the books of his company. He listed the $130,000 hush money payment to Stormy Daniels, the porn actress, to cover up the affair, to stop her from going public. But he listed it on the books of his company as legal fees. In the state of New York, it is illegal for a company to misrepresent something like that, a payment like that. By doing that, it's a misdemeanor. Misdemeanor in all states, easiest way to define it is a criminal offense that's punishable by less than a year in jail. It's punishable by more than a year in jail, it's a felony. That's a very rough delineation between felony and misdemeanor. The consequences to you of being convicted of the two are very large. If you're convicted of a felony, you can't vote, you can't have certain jobs. It'll follow you the rest of your life. A misdemeanor ain't great, but you can still vote. And it doesn't disqualify you for the same jobs that a felony would. This charge can be increased to a felony if the misrepresentation was done deliberately to conceal it. In this particular case, to conceal it because it happened just shortly before the presidential election in 2016 in that October. And if it had come out, it could have swayed the election. And the theory is that it could be bootstrapped into a felony. I don't know if Alvin Bragg, the DA, is going to do that, but it'll at least be a misdemeanor. There are a lot of consequences to that, and I'm going to mention one of them. A president, even a former president, has two roles. He's the head of government, but he's also the head of state. In the UK, for instance, those roles are split, and they're also split in other countries around the world. So in the UK, for instance, the head of government is the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak. The head of state is King Charles. theoretically, the name prime minister just means first minister of all the cabinet. In the old days, they were deferential to the king. Now they pretend to be deferential to the king. Ceremonially, they are, but they don't. They're not deferential to him on policy. But in the United States, starting with George Washington, the president was head of state and head of government. So you have people ranging from Michael Cohen, who can't stand Trump, who got set up by Trump, who took the dive on Stormy Daniels and spent time in prison, who is advocating for Trump to be convicted, nevertheless said he did not think that Trump should be handcuffed, perp-walked, and treated like a common criminal, but he should be given the chance to surrender, come in, not in handcuffs, get fingerprinted, processed, and then released on some kind of bail pending the charges. That is normally what you do anyway with a white-collar crime misdemeanor. If it's a felony, we'll see. And what's a perp walk? You've heard the term. In the big cities, New York, Chicago, L.A., although I've never heard it done here in Milwaukee, the DAs like the publicity of taking the perp, the perpetrator, the defendant, and walking him around the block so that the papers can take his picture and they're on TV that night and it looks very dramatic. And sometimes, if no one shows up, the DA in New York, for instance, and in Chicago and in L.A. will call the media. They'll say, when can you be here? And they can say, we'll be here in half an hour. They'll get great. And then half an hour later, they perp walk him again. Yank him out of the cell. Sometimes they let him wear a shirt so he can put it over his head and look like he's disguising himself. It's great theater. Well, Trump's not going to be perp walked, but even Michael Cohen said he shouldn't be perp walked. Now, in my opinion, it's not certain that he is going to be indicted anytime soon. He may be. One of the things he said to his supporters are, I'm going to be arrested tomorrow, come to New York, and basically do a January 6 again. He has thinly advocated a rally that could include violence. And right now, there's an awful lot of social media threats, pressure, although people like Kevin McCarthy aren't stupid, and they have said, don't commit violence. And some of the people who were involved in January 6th have said, I'm retired, I'm not part of it, because they don't want that to happen again to them. They don't care about the country. The reason I say I'm not certain and that may be more mere posturing on Trump's side is this. Trump, under New York law, and this is not the law in most states, but in New York, if you're going to be indicted by a grand jury, the DA invites you to appear before the grand jury to give your side of it. That's not true of most grand juries. Under the grand jury rules, and I'll give a federal grand jury as an example, they don't have to present any exculpatory evidence at all to the grand jury. They can produce hearsay. A cop or an FBI agent can get on and show a report and say, I was told by this guy, and I'm not going to tell you who it is, such and such. And I was told by that guy, and I'm not going to tell you who he is, such and such, pure hearsay. And then the prosecutor argues for the conviction, and the defense lawyer isn't told, the defendant isn't told. Sometimes they don't know about it at all. There's an old saying that a prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich. I mean, that's an extreme, but not much. In my whole career practicing law, and it was extensive, I know of one grand jury that refused to return an indictment, even though the prosecutor wanted it, and that involved a very prominent Milwaukee company with a great reputation, and they were alleged to have screwed up somehow, and the grand jury wasn't buying it. It's very rare, but New York has this deal. So what does Trump do? Trump's lawyers aren't stupid. They're not going to put Trump in front of the grand jury, be under oath. He'd have to take the fifth on most things. But they said, can we bring in a guy named Bob Costello and have him be Trump's response? New York law does not require, in my opinion, that the prosecutor let that happen, and it's going to delay things. And what's Bob Costello going to do? Apparently, he's going to attack Michael Cohen, because it looks like Alvin Bragg will permit Bob Costello to testify. And then he has called Michael Cohen as a rebuttal witness. So
thank you for calling.
This ain't going to happen.
What's your name? Where are you tomorrow. Calling from?
This ain't going to happen tomorrow.
All right. Thank you for calling, Dick.
So what is the purpose of this Bob Costello? What's the purpose of his testifying? Apparently, he's going to say that Cohen is no good. Okay. He can go ahead and say that. But Bob Costello is a problem, and so does Donald Trump, because Bob Costello at one point may have insinuated that he would represent Michael Cohen. He'll represent Michael Cohen and get him a pardon from Trump. Cohen turned him down, and then Costello left and joined the Trump team. That would be an ethical problem for Costello. Why am I saying all this? Why are we trying? Because this is a typical Trump tactic. Everything I've just said is totally out of the ordinary, totally ridiculous, but it will delay things. And that's what Trump's really at. He wants to delay things till the debates in August, because once he's a full-fledged candidate, and we're going to talk about that a little more, makes it harder and harder to indict him. Bragg should have done it 6 months ago. He didn't. He should do it now. I wouldn't let Bob Costello testify. What's the purpose? We're going to go to the lines quickly. Dick of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dick?
Yeah, Lou Costello would probably be better, but you know, this whole charade with Trump over the weekend, Kevin McCarthy weighed in on it, and this is about as pathetic as it gets, and I'll see if you think so. When he was talking about the whole situation, he goes, well, this is about the weakest of all the cases that are out there. I'm paraphrasing him. Is that not the most pathetic thing you ever heard when you're talking about somebody running for president? In other words, he's saying, well, there's countless number of other cases out there, which there are. But how pathetic is this that we've got somebody like this running for president?
Yeah, right. Your response is, hey, they got him on murder and they got him on burglary, and here they're going after him for disorderly conduct. You know, that's really great. Well, let me pick up on that, Dick, because here's what happens. Kevin McCarthy himself, even though he told everybody don't commit violence, Kevin McCarthy said they shouldn't go after Trump. And he's joined by Elise Stefanik, the number three. Remember, she's the one that bumped off Liz Cheney for the number three. And Andy Biggs, who is bad news. Marjorie Taylor Greene, J.D. Vance. That's the novelist in Ohio, used to be a liberal Democrat and just switched, flat out switched. All of them are saying, oh, no, this is unfair. This is unfair. And even though Kevin McCarthy pretended to cry some crocodile tears and say, don't commit violence, don't commit violence, don't commit violence, everybody on the Republican side is insinuating there will be violence. This is a party that has harnessed violence or the threat of violence to intimidate people. It's the first time in the history of the United States there was something like it back between 1859 and 1861 that led to a civil war. We're going to talk about this some more. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
For a long time, sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
The Badgers men's basketball team continues postseason play.
You can hear the action when Wisconsin takes on Oregon in the quarterfinals of the National Invitational Tournament Tuesday night at 8.
Listen on these local Civic Media Network radio stations.
WFHR 1320 AM, 97.5 FM in Wisconsin Rapids is our flagship station. Dial up WRCE 1450 AM or 107.7 FM in Richland Center.
Or WLAK 1260 AM in Amory.
Find the Badgers on these local Civic Media radio stations and everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy tonight with a low of 32. Southeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 50. Cloudy again tomorrow night. Scattered rain showers likely 37. Low 50s Wednesday with a chance for scattered rain showers. Turning cooler Thursday with highs in the upper 40s. Showers continue. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 46 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Now we can take a quick break from the possibility of the Trump indictment. I want to talk quickly about the state Supreme Court race and some developments there. Remember something. The election's 2 weeks from tomorrow. Starting tomorrow, you'll be able to vote in-person absentee, which is what I like to do. Some of you may have already gotten your ballots by mail. Some will. It's a great way to vote, too. And Election Day is a great way to vote. But if you're going to have child care issues on election day, work issues, you can't get off, whatever, you're going to be traveling, you have now till the Friday before the election, in other words, between now and a week from Friday, or I should say tomorrow, a week from Friday, to go in-person absentee. What I have found is that there are short to non-existent lines. In Milwaukee, I go down to the municipal building downtown. And I go into the municipal building, and sometimes they're just sitting there, just dying for customers, especially in something like this, an April race, the Supreme Court, and no presidential race on the ballot. So you go in, they give you your ballot, they're very helpful. They walk you over to the machine, show you, you know, there's some updates here that are very interesting, and then you just vote. Vote for Janet Protasiewicz, very, very important. And there are going to be some referenda, and that's one reason why I want to raise that issue now. I got an email from Nancy, one of our listeners, who mentioned that there are 6 referenda on her ballot, and they are confusing, some of them perhaps deliberately confusing, and what do they stand for and what should she do? And what I said, and I want to respond on the air because it's a very good question. There are 72 counties in this state. Without knowing the county, because some referenda are local to counties and some are statewide, it's not possible without knowing the county to say what the referenda really mean and what my recommendation would be on voting on it, or at least how I would vote for it if I were in that county. Let me give you a rule of thumb, everybody. Some referenda are statewide, and at least one of them is a constitutional amendment. A constitutional amendment has to pass two successive sessions of the legislature, and then it's put on a ballot. And a governor like Tony Evers can't veto even a gerrymandered legislature's resolution or something on the ballot that would change the Constitution. That's the problem with a gerrymandered legislature. They, in two successive sessions, can do whatever they want. And if they trick voters, it can become part of our Constitution without the opportunity of a veto. One of them that's like that has to do with bail. Now, most people, and I'm included, think that we need amendments to our bail system. But there's absolutely no reason why that can't be done in a legislature with a full veto power and a line item veto of the governor. That's how it's normally done. in this case, you'll see things like cash bail and this, that, and the other thing. Let me tell you my view on it. In the federal system, and that's what I think we should adopt, quite frankly. You can have some very dangerous defendants held without bail. Let's take terrorists who try to blow up the World Trade Center. And I don't mean just on 9/11. I mean 10 years before that, the blind sheik who put bombs in the parking garage of the World Trade Center, killed people. There's no amount of cash bail that you would set for him that some illicit people couldn't put up. ISIS, China, Iran, Russia. And there are other people like that. You know what you do with them? Or Russian spies who are caught in this country? They don't get any bail. We have Saudi Arabian students who committed felonies in Washington, D.C. They're large bails. They posted them, and then they flew out of the country and didn't come back. That is not included in this particular resolution, number one. Number two, the resolution as it's drafted is unnecessary, and it was done only because the Republicans want to gin up votes for Dan Kelly. They somehow thought that that would help, but they made it so confusing and seemingly rigged that it just aroused suspicion. Why do I say it's not necessary right now, over and above the issue of not being able to hold people, terrorists, without cash bail? Because judges already set very high cash bail if they think there's a danger on the part of the person that would be released. I'll give you an example. Milwaukee County court commissioner set bail. I know instances where the court commissioner set $1 million bail in a domestic violence case. Why? Because the guy threatened to kill his girlfriend. And in the past, what you do is you'd let him out on $10,000 bail and he'd have a no contact order. And he went and killed his girlfriend. This happened a long time ago. You get $1 million for that and you can't post it. So they're already doing what seemingly is in this thing. I am going to vote against any resolution or any constitutional amendment that a gerrymandered legislature puts out without the opportunity of the governor to veto it, because it's presumptively fraudulent. Why? Because the Republican caucus is presumptively fraudulent in everything they do because they're gerrymandered. There's another one about welfare recipients having to work. There already are work requirements for welfare recipients. And the Republicans consider unemployment comp as welfare, which it's not. But you have to sign up to look for work and unemployment comp. Anything like that, vote against it if it's statewide. If it's local, rule of thumb, in Milwaukee, there's one that would enshrine Roe v. Wade into law. It's not binding. Yeah, vote for it. If you're in a Republican county, don't vote for any of it. If you're in a Democratic county, vote for the local ones. Real rule of thumb, but there's 72 counties and there's only 2 weeks. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back at you.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. The NYPD is bracing for violence as a grand jury weighs whether former President Trump falsified business records for alleged hush money payments in 2016. CBS's Graham Cates.
All around are the signs of plans for protests. The NYPD, just down the block from me, they have dozens of barriers that they're setting up across from the courthouse. And there's definitely a different feel than there is normally around here. There's a much larger police presence than normal.
Lots of fanfare to welcome China's president in Russia today ahead of his meeting with Vladimir Putin. CBS's Remy Innocencio.
Xi Jinping saying his trip to Moscow is a journey of friendship, cooperation, and peace.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres is calling for rich nations to ramp up their shift to net zero emissions.
Leaders of developed countries must commit to reaching net zero as close as possible to 2040, the limit they should all aim to respect.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Natnair. Here's what you need to know. A GoFundMe page has been set up for a Milwaukee firefighter who was seriously hurt while battling a house fire over the weekend. He's said to be suffering from